It is so great to sing with you, play guitar with you, and now I have the privilege of sharing my heart with you. Thank you so much, Kelly Kinsley, for the invitation to speak and to do music. What a privilege. Wow. You guys mean so much to Valerie and I. We cherish this opportunity. We didn't know if we were going to make it yesterday. There was some gnarly weather. We just did this like insane thing of trying to do the whole trip, 13 hours of driving. And we hit some really bad, snowy, wintry conditions between Vail and Burns. I mean, it was gnarly. And then like the last 50 miles coming down to 101, the fog was just dense and you could hardly see, and it was raining. And then we checked the forecast for our trip, return trip, and that wasn't... So, I don't know how this is all going to work out, but we're just going to trust God that He's going to bring us home. That's because we got to do that. But it's a joy to be here. A very important reason why we are here will take place tomorrow at Sharon Perry's memorial service. But for right now, today, we exult in the joy that we have of being with you after nearly 3 years of an absence. The title? I didn't come up with that. Reunited and it feels so good. You remember the song? 1979, that would be, by Peaches and Herb. So I stole the title from them, but it's a summation of how Valerie and I feel about being here. Reunited and it feels so good. The last time I stood here, it was January 4, 2020. And I was delivering my farewell swan song message. And I distinctly remember, even though it's been 3 years, looking out over some very familiar faces, faces of friends and people that Valerie and I have grown very deeply attached to. And thinking to myself, Ron, you are one lucky dude to have your life intersected with these people for over 5 years. And I truly mean that. And so there I was, final message, pouring my heart out to you, and you guys were just wonderful. And after that, I am missing something today. Right over there. We had a routine, Ralph and I. When he would come to church, I would say to him, "Good morning, Captain." And he would say to me, "Good morning, Chief." Such a positive guy. I wish I could have had the chance today to greet him once again. There are two other notable absences that I'm very much missing today. And they would sit right over there. Those people were so wonderful. They loved Valerie and I, and whenever I would go to their home, I just had the feeling that I was in the presence of some of the most genuine people on planet Earth. I wish I could say hello to them one more time. But a day has come. A day has come. After that farewell message on January 4, 2020, you you had a farewell meal and event for us. And thank you to Kelly Kinsley and the church elders that did a sensational job. And there was many people involved in this. And it was, I mean, we had friends that traveled from all over. And it was just like, it was amazing. It was nothing short of amazing. It just touched our hearts. And I remember after that meal, walking down the hallway here and thinking, this is my last time as pastor. When I walk out of those doors, I'm going to be a retired pastor, and it'll be different. So, walked out of the door, got in the car, went home. That night, we were going to load the moving van. Conference moving van. And you ought to hear my brother-in-law brag about you people of McKinleyville. Well, there were like 50 people that showed up to help Ron and Valerie move. It was amazing. Oh. It was done in short order because so many of you responded. I don't know if there was 50, but there was a bunch. And people even came from the Eureka Church and all over it. And we just felt so loved and cherished and blessed to have that show of support. Went to bed, got up early the next day because we had some cleaning to do before we could exit our rental on Central Avenue. Got some big help from Deanne Young in cleaning the place, and she helped get us out of there. And then we drove to Red Bluff, where my sister and brother-in-law live, stayed with them, and got up Monday morning, January 6th, January 6th, 2020, and headed to our home in Cuna, Idaho. Now, don't say Cuna. Don't make the mistake that I made. It took me 3 months to learn how to pronounce the name of the town that I lived in. It is Cuna, with a K. With a Q, like a cue ball, it's Cuna. And Cuna is located, in case you're wondering, about 16 miles southwest of Boise. I'm sure you've heard of Boise. And so anyway, we headed there. It was a cold, rainy day, and we were praying that there would be traveling mercies with our stuff in the moving van. So it was really easy. I make an announcement at church, hey, if any of you aren't doing anything on Saturday night and you want some exercise, you can come out and help us load the moving van. But we couldn't do that on the other end of the thing. So Valerie, she pulled off an awesome one. She contacted a woman named Karen Ronk. Most of you know her, Karen Price Ronk, who used to live in Idaho. And Valerie said, help, SOS, we don't know anybody there. Are Ron and his son Justin going to have to empty the whole moving van by themselves? So Karen Ronk called a lady named Aline Sox, who used to be, before she retired, the editor of the Primary Treasure and our little friend, Children's Magazine. And I don't know all that went on. All I know is when we pulled up on that cold and rainy January 6th in Cuna, Idaho, there were 20 people, 20 strong men, and I only knew two of them, my son and myself. And they had that moving van unloaded in 58 minutes. What a blessing it is, ladies and gentlemen, to belong to the Adventist church family. Woo! Well, most of you know that we moved to Cuna to be near my son and his family. And that's Justin, our oldest son, and his lovely lady, Jessica. Now, Jessica has never in her entire life taken a bad picture. I, in my entire life, have never taken a great picture. So I'm liking, how do you do it, girl? Well, obviously, she's a gorgeous lady. So Justin and Jessica moved to Cuna, Idaho. And soon after that, the real pull for the Malores ending up in Cuna, Idaho, came as our very first grandchild was born, Jaden. And here is a picture of me holding him for the very first time. grandma's looking on with adoration. He just turned 3, and he's reminding you now that I'm this many. It seems like he'd want to do it this way, but he likes to do it this way. That's Jaden. He's quite the boy. And then came our very first granddaughter. The firsts are really a big deal, guys. And June, we call her Junie, turned 1 year old the end of July, just 2 days away from my wife's birthday. And Junie is just a great kid. And we are so blessed because we take care of these kids like at least 3 days a week. The parents are so grateful for us because they have jobs that they go to. And there are some days that we will have them for 8 to 10 hours because of various happenings on the other end of things. And it is the greatest joy, and it's exhausting. So there's Justin and Jessica and Jaden and June. You get the idea of the 4 J's? Everybody's a J in that family. And Ron Mattson, where are you? Did he step out? Well, this next slide is for him, and you can tell him about it, because I am raising my children in the ways of righteousness to be 49er fans. Okay? All right. That's right. Valerie is the perfect grandma. There she has both kids, and that's not the only time she has one in each arm. But she just derives so much joy and happiness from being with the kids. Like I say, it's exhausting, but she just loves it. I'm not as good of a grandparent as she is, but I'm trying my best, and I'm really enjoying being with the grandkids as well. This is our youngest son. We have 2 boys. Landon. He is single and has no grandchildren to pull us that way. Maybe someday. But Landon's a great guy. He's doing fine. He lives in San Antonio, Texas, so a little farther away. But we love him with all our heart. And this is the final member of the family. This is Remy, our beloved yellow lab dog. And she's such a great dog to have around the grandkids. I mean, the grandkids pull on her ears, pull on her tail. I even saw little Junie trying to ride her, to get on there like a horse. And Remy just puts up with it. But I think when they go home, she's going, whew, peace and quiet now. This is our home in Idaho. We had never lived in a new home before. We live in a neighborhood called Sterling Ranch. And there's so much building in Idaho right around us. I would say 85% of our neighbors are transplanted Californians. But, I mean, it's not a huge house. It's not super fancy. But we're really comfortable there, and we really enjoy it. Now, Idaho has 4 distinct seasons. Here's a picture taken of winter. And you can see that Toyota minivan, which is ours, and that's our house there. I have learned the fine art of snow shoveling. But I have some help. Because my grandson likes to take his little plastic mower and mow the snow. Oh, he's obsessed with a mower, and that was funny to watch him try to mow the snow. We attend and belong to the CUNA Adventist Church. We have never lived closer to the church that we go to. We are 1.4 miles away. So it's a very easy commute. That's the outside. It's a beautiful church. Here's the inside. They have great sound and lighting there, which I really, really appreciate. But it's just a great church. And we've gotten involved there. We do music twice a month. I'll play guitar, and Valerie will play piano. And once a month, you'll even get her to play the whole needs for the piano. Once a month, I get to play bass with a group that I don't know if you've ever heard me play the stand-up bass, but it's a lot of fun to play. And if I were back in Tuna today, I'd be playing stand-up bass for this group. But we are really blessed to be a part of this church. The people are really down to earth. They're friendly. They're accepting. They're non-judgmental. And we really like the pastor and his wife. It's just a great group for us to worship with. This is our backyard. Now, I have wanted to do gardening. I have this part of me that really enjoys gardening. And so, with the help of my son, I built some raised bed garden boxes. And I have a vegetable garden. There are four boxes back there, one 4x12 and three 4x8s. And I grow a lot of stuff. I mean, we have to give it away because we have so much stuff. I counted how many cucumbers in the last season I grew, and I harvested 583 cucumbers just in those little boxes. And I get a lot of ribbing because I kept a cucometer of how many cucumbers and tomatoes, and I wanted to know how the garden was doing. So it's been just great fun and being in the backyard. Now, Idaho, like I said, has four distinct seasons, and we had 18 days of 100 or more this summer, which was more than usual. So there are four distinct seasons. It's not cold all the time, but it can get cold to this winter wind. I'm still very active. This is a pool that we have within walking distance of our home. And so I usually swim 3 days a week. Times like this, there's an indoor pool at an aquatic center at a YMCA that I swim at. But during the summer, there are two lanes there, and I usually have the pool all to myself, and so I can swim there. I'm still cycling. I usually cycle 100 miles a week or more, and love just staying active. And both Valerie and I enjoy really good health. We're very thankful for that. Our lives are full. With grandkids, they're really full, but we feel so very blessed to be with family and to be enjoying health and all the other joys of the blessings that God has given to us. I want to talk about relationships today. The older that I get, the more I'm convinced that there is nothing more important than really good relationships. Relationships where there is love and acceptance. I mean, like I say, the older that I get, it seems like the more that I appreciate relationships. And maybe I'm focusing on relationships because to prepare my message today, I thought of you and the relationship that Valerie and I have with you and that wonderful love relationship that we have. And even though there are 666 miles between us, hope you're not superstitious, because there is a 666 distance between Huna, Idaho, where the Malores live, and McKinleyville. I'm not superstitious. 666 miles of distance. Even though that's a long way, you're still in our hearts, and when we walk in here and we see your faces, it's like time warp, and we're right back when we were here all the time. Relationships. So maybe I'm focused on relationships because I was reminiscing about our time together. And maybe it's because now I have grandchildren and family has never meant more to me. And maybe it's because I'm older, yikes, and wiser. But whatever the reason, I value and cherish relationships. And when I think about what it should mean to us as Christians, I can't think of anything that is really more important. Jesus was once approached by a know-it-all, cocky expert in the law. And this expert in the law had an appointed question for Jesus. He basically said this, So, Jesus, big master teacher, what is the greatest commandment? I think what he was really trying to pin Jesus on is, hey, as a God follower, what is the very most important thing? What is of supreme value to a follower of God? And Jesus came back with a very specific answer. It was part of our scripture reading today, Matthew 22:37-39. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And then he went on to say this. A second is equally important. Equal. Love your neighbor being other people, as yourself. So when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest factor in being a true God follower? He talked about the vertical relationship. You want to love God passionately with all your heart, mind, and soul. And you want to love people horizontally just as much as you're trying to love God. I think that's profound. I think it speaks to relationships and the importance of relationships that we have. So I'd like to suggest this, that true Christianity really boils down to, if you're a bottom line person, true Christianity is about loving relationships. A relationship with God, loving Him, and a relationship with others, loving them. Christianity is all about loving relationships. Well, as we are all aware, we possess sinful human nature. And the gravitational pull on our lives is not toward being better lovers. It's toward being, as you look around the world, you can see what's happening. And as someone who spent 43 years, my career in church work, I have seen too often where theology has been more important than relationships. Now, theology is very important to me. I studied it to become a pastor. And I am a Seventh-day Adventist today because I believe in the theology of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. But when theology is elevated above relationships, and when theology is a cause of relationships taking a beating, it's not a good thing and not the way that God would have it be. And I have seen theological wars, and I have sinful human nature too, and I am tempted to look askance at people who see things differently as I do, just like you are. But the Bible says, be better than this. Be better than this. Don't be like the world. And as we look around at the world, oh my goodness, have relationships taken a beating? You have race hatred. I mean, it just seems incomprehensible to me that there can be so much hate and divisiveness based just on the color of someone else's skin. That's ridiculous. That is awful. And then there is the world of politics. Talk about divisive and nasty. We see illustrations every single day of relationships being fractured and even destroyed because of the world of politics. There can even be, when it comes to sports, a problem in divisiveness. You hear stories about someone who was in the stands and they were rooting for the wrong team, and so they get beat up. Come on, people, it's a game. How can you let a game and sports allegiances determine how you look at someone else? So, Jerry Miller, I want you to know that I love you, even though you root for the wrong team. And by the way, if you look at Jerry Miller really carefully, you will see that he has aged since last week. Jerry had a birthday yesterday, and he got older. And I don't know if there's any more wrinkles or gray hairs. No, you are well preserved for someone who's 95. I'll tell you that. Just kidding. Terry's my friend. Jesus predicted that in the last days before the second coming of Jesus Christ, that relationships would take a beating. That people would become divisive and relationships would be fractured and destroyed. In Matthew 24, Jesus gave many signs of the second coming. And in verse 12, he says, because of the increase of wickedness. Does it feel like wickedness is increasing? Sure does to me. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most toward others, we could add, will grow cold. In other words, Jesus was saying in the last days before the second coming that there's going to be a condition on the earth where relationships are going to take a devastating beating. And the more wickedness there is on the world, the more that relationships will be destroyed. And I think we're seeing that in our present culture today. We have a great opportunity, ladies and gentlemen, because as Philippians 2:15 reminds us, we as believers in Jesus Christ and as people who should love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and other people as well, we have an opportunity to shine like bright stars in a dark night. And I think when we love people with genuine relationships, that's about as powerful witness of the gospel that you can find. So that should be our aim, to shine like bright stars in a dark night. I want to end with a passage from Hebrews chapter 10 that I think speaks very powerfully to this idea of how we who are living in the last days need to really make sure that we are in the business of building relationships, building our relationship with God and building our relationship with one another. And by the way, the two are tied together. If you want to have a relationship with God, be loving on other people. And if you want to have relationship with other people, be loving on God. They go together. They go together. And this is what it says in Hebrews 10:23-25. Let us hold unswervingly. I want you to visualize a hand tightly gripped around something. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. We have a hope, ladies and gentlemen. We have a hope. Because of Jesus Christ, we have a hope. And because of what Christ has done and what he is doing, we have a hope. Let us hold unswervingly. Hold it tightly. I want to see some white knuckles, ladies and gentlemen. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who has promised is faithful. We hold unswervingly to the hope because we know our God is faithful. And if he says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. If he says that he's going to send his son the second time to take us home, he's going to do it. If he says he's going to raise us from the dead, he's going to do it. For he who promised is faithful. Reading on in the passage, it says, and let us consider how we may spur one another toward love. And I, parentheses there, put relationships. Let us consider how we can spur one another toward relationships that are genuine and lasting and filled with love and good deeds. Profound stuff being said here. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, because he who promised is faithful, because God is faithful. Let us be in the business of encouraging one another with loving acts and with relationships that are deep and lasting. And finally, the passage ends by saying, not giving up, meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day, capital D means the day of Jesus coming, as you see the day approaching. That's, ladies and gentlemen, bottom line Christianity. It's all about relationships. And it's all about fostering those relationships and building them and doing what we can to fly in the face of what's happening in culture around us and live as people who really love God and really love one another. We're going to end our service today with a chance for you to sing your commitment to God. I have two favorite hymns. This is one of them. If you're interested, my other most favorite hymn is "It Is Well With My Soul." And this song, in just such an amazing way, just says, God is faithful. Remember what it said in Hebrews 10. For he who promised is faithful. This song says how faithful God is. And because he is faithful, ladies and gentlemen, let's be faithful no matter what. Let's be faithful to God whatever is happening around us. Let us be faithful in our relationships because our God is faithful. If you're willing to make this the prayer of your heart and to commit to relationship building with our wonderful God and with one another, I would invite you to stand as we sing this wonderful hymn, "Great is Thy Faithfulness."